Hear these words as we read from the book of Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive your words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So this text comes from what is subtitled the Sermon on the Plain. Matthew has a similar message, but it's subtitled Sermon on the Mount. There's a few differences in these two texts. The one in Matthew, there are several more blessings that come along, but no woes. Luke gives us a few blessings and kind of a opposite effect with the woes. So as I looked at this, and I thought of, you know, how do I preach this? How do I understand this? How do I go forward with this? So I spent all week trying to figure all of this out. I took out my yellow notepad and scribbled a bunch of stuff down that made no sense. I even consulted a higher power, my wife. So, this is what I think. I think that as Jesus is giving these blessings, it is to let his disciples know these are the rewards that await those who come to follow me. The woes are warnings as to what one can expect if they don't follow Jesus. Then I got to thinking a little bit more about it, and I thought, well, it needs to go a little bit further. So bear with me on this. Oh, by the way, I heard that there's a rumor going around, and I want to verify this rumor. Yes, I joined a gym. Yes, I was seen walking on the treadmill. Isn't that cool?
I was going to say it's not a pretty sight.
How many of you have ever done something and accomplished it? How many of you stopped right there? I joined a gym. I think that's good right there. So we had all, we read here where all of these people were coming to hear Jesus and to have Him heal them. And as He was doing all of these things, it says He was standing on a level place. And He's talking to His apostles or His disciples. If you read just a little bit further up, so Jesus had gone up on the mountaintop and He had all of His disciples with Him. And that is where and when He chose His 12. And they became His apostles. So if anyone ever tells you that there were 12 disciples, there's your proof that there were more than 12 disciples. There were 12 apostles. So Jesus comes down and He's surrounded by everybody and He's looking out over all of this humanity and He starts talking about people that are blessed because they aren't in the elite, or that's what it seems to be, and the woes for those who are the elite, and that's what it seems to say, but I don't think that's what was meant there. Too many times in our lives, we reach a level that we have set as a goal, and that becomes the final thing. I'm tickled to death that I joined that gym. That ought to help me lose 30 pounds right there. And I have a history of the gym. My wife, I think, believes that the money that I have spent on buying memberships to gym, we could have paid for our retirement home already. Because to me, I have reached a goal. My mind says you got to get healthy, and so I join a gym. My mind doesn't tell me that in order to accomplish more of that, I need to continue on and strive for more by going and working out. I have this image of what I want to look like. No, it's not the Hulk. No, it's not Adonis. It's just me 40 years ago, 30 years ago. But in order to reach that, I have to continue on doing what I need to do. You see, Jesus saw these people that were in front of Him, and He said, blessed are the ones who poor. If you look at Matthew, it says poor in spirit. He says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. In Matthew, it says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you because of your righteousness. See, Jesus was not just addressing the physical needs of those people, but He was addressing the spiritual needs. Too many times there are people that their goal in life as Christians is to be a Christian. The minimum requirements. To join the health club. And we're good to go. We don't understand that it takes a little bit more than to call ourselves a Christian. You see, there are actions that we need to perform in order to continue to be a healthy Christian. And what Jesus was saying here, what I believe Jesus was saying here, is that in order to continue to grow, to strive on forward in your Christian walk, you have to want more. So I have set a date for retirement. 6 years, 4 months, and 2 weeks. I could be satisfied with where I am right now. I mean, think about it. Right now, I'm a healthy person. I've got a great church. I've got plans for my future. My wife is stuck with me for the rest of her life. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right? Or does it? You know, I can stop right now and just coast to the end. But is that healthy for me? No, it's not. In our Christian walk, in our personal Christian life, is where you are at, is that where we're supposed to be? Or are we going to just try to coast to eternity? Jesus let us know with the woes that it's not healthy for us to be satisfied with where we are. You see, here's the thing, and oh my goodness, I've seen this so many times. When a church gets to that goal point, they quit. I pastored a church one time that had this big goal. And they reached that goal. And everybody was all excited and happy. And woo-hoo-hoo. Had a gentleman walk out as soon as it was announced. Came out, shook my hand, told me he enjoyed the sermon, and then said, "So what are you going to do now?" And I looked at him and I thought, "What do you mean, what am I going to do now? I'm fixing to go home and eat lunch." And he said, "You do realize that if you don't set more goals in your Christian walk and in the church's life, you become complacent and finally die." And I thought, not this church. He was right. Because that church stopped doing. They were happy with the membership they had. They didn't want to go out and witness and evangelize and bring more people in. They were happy with where they were. And they weren't going to do any more. And sadly to say, to this day, last I heard, they're worshiping 30 people. And that congregation, years before I got there, was in the 300s in worship. You see, in our congregational life and in our spiritual life, if we're satisfied with where we are, and we're not striving on to perfection, as John Wesley would say, we become stagnant. And then, I don't know what the medical term is when you don't move and your muscles start turning to jelly. What's that called? Apathy. What? Atrophy. Danny, it's atrophy. We become lazy. We become non-compliant. We become just, here I am. And Jesus warns against that. when he says, "Woe to you who are rich, you have already received your comfort." He's not talking about money. He's talking about when we think that we are top notch and we don't need to do any more. Okay. So that's where you're at. And that's where you're going to stay. I don't see the woes being as a condemnation, but a warning. Went to my endocrinologist. Made a bet with her. Don't make bets with your doctors. So I told her, I said, "Next time you see me, you'll see a different me." And she looked at me and she goes, "For better or for worse?" I said, "For the better." I said, "I'll bet you on that." She said, "Okay, you're on." She said, "If you accomplish what you say, we'll start looking at taking you off of your medications gradually." I said, "So, just to be clear, if I don't do it, what happens?" She goes, "I'll make sure you get healthy." You see, if we're not striving to be better, if we're not striving to be what God intends us to be, if we settle for where we're at, we're never going to be any better. And we have experienced the high. I'm guilty of this, and I know others are because I've heard it. Have you ever heard someone say, "You know, I remember back in the 70s. Oh, that was a great decade." And it was. Everything was just wonderful. But it's not so good today. Do we want to be the Christian or the church that looks back and says, "You know, I remember back in 2019. Boy, that was the best year that this church has ever experienced"? Or do you want to be able to say, "You know, I remember back in 2019 where the church took off and has been going full blast ever since and is the healthiest church ever"? We have to exercise our spiritual fruits. We have to get on the treadmill, y'all. And don't be like me, get on the treadmill and stand there and not hit the start button. We have to exercise our faith or atrophy will set in, and we will not be any better than we are now. We have to strive to be the best we can be for the one that was the best for us. And we have to continue on to perfect our faith. That when God comes back and He looks at us and says, "Bill, well done, my good and faithful servant. You one healthy Christian. Come on in." I don't want to be the one when Jesus comes out and says, "Boy, you put on a lot of weight. That means you weren't exercising real well in your Christian walk. We're going to have to work on you. Blessed are you who exercises your faith and moves and strives for protection, perfection in your Christian walk. And woe to those who are satisfied right where they're at, because this is the best it will ever get. So starting tomorrow, I'm tempted to turn the recorder off. Starting tomorrow, I am going to start working on not only my physical getting healthier, but I'm going to start working more on my spiritual getting healthier. I want to be better than I am today. I want to be strong in my faith. I want to be a great witness for my Lord and Savior. I invite you to become part of that with me on the spiritual side. The physical thing, that's between you and God alone. And let's see where we are here in a few months. See if we're not more vibrant, more energetic, and more on fire for God in our life. Amen? Amen. Or oh me. No oh me. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we're so thankful to you that you have shown us the way to be a healthy Christian. Father, we know that if we strive to be better than we are today, and we strive tomorrow to be better than we were the day before, that we will continue to grow in our Christian walk, and that we won't become complacent and be satisfied with the status quo. Father, light a fire under us that we might be who you have called us to be and who you created us to be. That others might see our joy and energy and want to be a part of it. Father, we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.